If you ask the people who went on our Greece trip about their favorite place in the trip, I think a lot of us would say Ephesus. That's because the ruins of ancient Ephesus are so impressive. You really have a sense of being in the midst of that ancient city. So much of it has been restored. You see places of government and commerce. You see the marketplace that was part of ancient Ephesus. You see what it was like for people to live out their daily lives there. The temples and the altars are evident. The amphitheater is intact. The ancient library is incredibly impressive. There was so much to see that we really had to use our time there wisely. You see, our visit to Ephesus took us outside of the boundaries of Greece and into the nation of Turkey across the Aegean Sea. And in the age of Paul, Ephesus was second only to Rome in its global importance. It had a population of over 250,000 people. It was a center of business and trade and culture and influence that spread throughout the Roman Empire. Paul must have really loved his time at Ephesus. What we know from reading the book of Acts is the first time that he visited Ephesus during his second missionary journey, he was only able to stay there a little while and then he had to travel on. But on his third journey, he came back to that city. And he stayed there for 3.5 years. He probably spent more time at one time in Ephesus than anywhere else that he ever ministered. Which meant Paul had a tremendous opportunity in Ephesus that he did not have in most of the cities that he visited. You see, most of the cities, he would go into a city, he would lead people to Christ, he would baptize them in Jesus' name, he would get a church started, he would appoint leaders, and he would move on. In Ephesus, Paul had an opportunity to reach people for Christ, to see them baptized in Jesus' name, to establish a church, and then to invest time in discipling these new believers. And I believe of all of the churches that he visited, Ephesus was his favorite. In fact, I think if Paul had had an opportunity to put his membership in a particular church, he would have joined the church at Ephesus because he loved those people that much. He invested so much of his life and time there. And when you read the book of Ephesians, one of the things you discover is that it is saturated with affection and warmth and membership and leadership. It is a powerful book from Paul to a church that you can tell he really, really loved. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, it was also at a critical time in his life. He wrote the book of Ephesians from prison in Rome, where he had been sent to appeal to Caesar and ask for his life. The emperor's judgment would determine whether he would live or die. And Paul had no assurance that he would ever see those people he loved again. So he wrote them a letter full of encouragement, full of instruction, full of affirmation. You read the book of Ephesians and you recognize this is a love letter from Paul to a church that he cared deeply about. It's good to assume the things he wrote in Ephesians were the things he would use to bless them and empower them as they lived out Christ-saturated lives. And toward the end of his book, he wrote the passage that we read together this morning. It worked in the first century. It works still today. What did he say? He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. I think that is a powerful challenge for those Ephesian believers. You take the time that God has given you and you do something with it. You make it work. It was a good word then. It is a good word today because the Lord still calls people to redeem the time. There are moments in every life when the next thing that happens is going to make all of the difference. Nothing matters more than the next word that is said. Nothing is more important than the next action that you take. What happens next is going to make a huge difference. It may hurt, it may heal. What happens next may build up, it may tear down. And that's why the Lord commands us, be careful. Pay attention. Redeem the time. Nobody understands the power of a moment more than the Lord. And that's why he has given us two kinds of time, chronos time and kairos time. Chronos time is moments passing by. You can measure it by your watch. All of those ways that Amanda shared a few moments ago, those are ways to measure chronos time. But there's another word. It's the word that Paul used in this Ephesian passage. And it is that word kairos. And kairos time is carpe diem time. Kairos time is seize the day, seize the moment. Chronos is when you say something like this. You know, when the service is over after a while, we're going to go downstairs and we're going to enjoy Labor Day fellowship lunch together. When the time is right. Kairos time is preaching and understanding if I go too long, the chicken's going to burn, it's going to be on the grill too long, people are going to be mad, you better get this done. That's the difference between chronos and kairos. And Paul says that kairos is that time when you redeem the moment. You recognize the power of right now. It means taking advantage of every opportunity to act in a way that will reflect the presence of Jesus. So how does the Bible teach us about redeeming the time? Well, let me take my kairos moments before we go to eat and share with you what the Bible has to say. Redeeming the time, he says, redeem the time and spend your days in ways that matter. Let me tell you something that every one of us has in common this morning. Everybody in this room has to admit that none of us can choose the length of life that we have been given. Not one of us. If I ask you, so how long are you going to live? When will your last day on earth be? When will you know this is the end? None of us know. It may happen when we're younger. It may happen when we're older. It may happen this week. It may happen 10 years from now. None of us get to choose. But all of us can choose the quality of the life that we live. I can't tell you how long I'm going to live, but I can tell you this. I want to give the best I have to the time that God has given me. I want to know that when the time has come, I will be able to hear, you will be able to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. What does that mean? That means you claimed the kairos moments of your life. You lived in such a way that you made a difference with who you were and what you did and who you touched and how you lived. All of us can choose to live life with high quality. Let me ask you a question this morning. What if every day the bank credited your account with $86,400? What if every day when you got up and checked your balance, it would say $86,400? And it was given to you just out of the blue every single day. You can spend it any way you choose, but there's one condition, one stipulation. At the end of the day, whatever you have not spent will be taken away again. How would you spend that money? What would you do with that $86,400? You would do your best to use it every day. You'd spend some of it on yourself, sure, but you'd also be taking care of your family. You'd be doing good for other people. You'd be investing in good causes. I have no doubt that every day you would drop by the church to drop off $8,400 of tithing money that we could take advantage of on your behalf. The thing is, you would do everything you could to make sure not a cent was left at the end of that day, that nothing was wasted. Well, guess what? That is exactly what you have been given. Not money, but every day of your life, 86,400 seconds of time. And you can use that time any way you want to. But at the end of the day, whatever you have wasted or neglected or not used, it will be gone. Always remember this. Unlike money, time is the ultimate non-renewable resource. You get to choose how you spend your time, what you do with your time, whether you waste your time or invest your time. But whatever you don't use, at the end of the day, it's gone, and there's nothing you can do to hold on to it. So you use your hours and you use your days and things that really matter. One of the things we need to do when we recognize that God has called us to redeem the time is we recognize our time is a gift from God. And He has given it to us to use, that we use it on His behalf, that we use it in things that matter in His causes, that we recognize that what we do for Him are the things that really matter, and we recognize that if I don't use my time, I lose my time. So let me make sure my time counts. You know, from time to time, Judith will say something like this to me. You need to take more days off. You need to take a day off because I don't like to. I love what I do here at the church, and I enjoy what I do. And Judith will say, you need to stay home and take a day off. And you know what I always say to her? I always say to her, please don't make me stay home and watch The Price is Right. Nothing wrong with that show. It may be your favorite show on TV, but for me, the idea of just sitting down and not doing anything with a whole day. Well, now that I think about it, that sounds pretty good. No. You use your time. That old poem really is true. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That is so true. Am I investing my life? Am I using my time? And am I making a difference? Am I pleasing to God? Am I using my moments? Always remember, you are called to invest your moments, your days, in ways that will make a difference. A kingdom difference. Because that's what God has given to you. Then Paul would tell us this, redeem the time and use your words profitably. God has given us an incredible gift. He gave it to us from the very beginning. It's called language. And we redeem the time through the words we choose. You know, words are amazing things. You can use them in so many ways. You can use them to bring comfort and encouragement. You can bring them to cause discouragement and hopelessness. You can do so many things with your words, and you get to choose what you're going to do. Here's the thing. You have the freedom to choose your words, but you only get to choose once. If I'm going to redeem the time, then that means I need to be careful what I'm saying to people. I need to be careful how I'm communicating with others. I want to make sure that my words count. Because here's the thing. Once they're out there, they're out there. You know, here's one of the things you guys struggle with that I didn't have to when I was your age. Back when I was your age, if somebody made you really, really mad, I mean really got under your skin, just really bothered you, you could sit down and you could write them the meanest letter you ever come up with. I mean, you're so-and-so, and you're this and this, and you're that and that, and you're that and that. And then the next day you get it up, take it out and look at it and think, I don't need to send this. This is not going to do any good at all. But you guys, man, you have to deal with, what if I send this out in a text? What if I put it in an email, if you still use email? I put it out there right away, and I send it off, and by the time I realize I wish I hadn't said that, it's too late. It's already gone. Paul says, redeem the time. Be careful how you use your words. I can guarantee you that almost everybody in this room remembers two things that somebody else has said to them. You remember something critical that you were told at some point, and you have never forgotten. They said something to you that was hurtful and painful, and you have carried it with you ever since. And everybody at some point remembers a word of encouragement that somebody gave to you, and it was a life-changing thing. It was like a glass of cold water in the desert. You so much needed somebody to tell you something encouraging. And you have carried it with you forever. Both of those things impacted your life so much that even if it was a long time ago, you still remember who said them and why they said them and where they said them. So we're called to redeem the time because we want to be those encouraging people. We want to be those folks that build others up. God's given you great power through the words you say. Use your words to redeem the time, and let what you say build others up in Jesus' name. How do I know Paul would tell you that? Because earlier on in the book of Ephesians in 4:29, he said this: don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I heard someone say one time that there are two kinds of folks that every one of us have in our lives. He says, all of us have in our lives people that you would describe as VDPs. Now, what is a VDP? A VDP is a very draining person. You like them, you care about them, but the truth is, they will just suck the life out of you. They are so demanding and so centered on self and so consumed with their own things that when you walk away from them, you just kind of go, and you go somewhere to sit down so you can get built back up again. And every one of us have VDPs in our lives. But we also have VEPs in our life. What is a VEP? A very enriching person. They sit down with you and they want to know, how are things going in your life? How are you feeling about things? Is there anything that you know? They tell you what they love about you. They encourage you in what you're going through. And when you walk away from a VEP, you always go, whew, that was nice. I could spend more time with these people. And we all have in our lives VDPs and VEPs. But what Ephesians calls us to do is to become that VEP in other people's lives. We are called to be those people who build them up with our faith, with our confidence, with our encouragement, with our strength in such a way that when they walk away, they will remember that moment when you built them up. Redeem the time. Use your words to make your wife or your husband feel loved and appreciated. Use your words to help your children understand how much they are treasured and valued. Use your words to show your parents how much you respect and admire them. Use your words to encourage your coworkers to give their very best. Use your words to make the people around you feel like they really matter. Use your words to make your friends understand how much you really care about them. God has given you a great gift. Use your words to encourage people and to honor Christ. Paul's still not finished. He also says this, and you redeem the time by choosing what matters the most. Sometimes you have to decide what is really important in your life. What is really going to matter where I am concerned? When Judith and I moved to Birmingham, we left a house that was very different from the house we live in today. The house that we lived in up in Haleyville was a house that had a floor over the entire attic of the house. The whole house had an attic to it. And we never had to ask questions as we were trying to decide what to do with something about, do we want to keep this or throw it away? Do we think this is something we'll use again or not? You know what we would say? Throw it in the attic. We'll figure it out later. I remember standing up there one day in the attic looking at all of accumulations that looked like junk. all of the stuff up in that attic. And I remember looking over at her one day and saying, you know what, when we die, our kids have got a big problem up here. And then we came, God called us here to First Baptist. And among the things that happened to us is we bought a house without nearly that kind of attic space. And all of a sudden, we had to start asking those hard questions. What's really important? What do we really want to hang on to? What matters more than anything? Moving forced us to decide what things we wanted to do away with. And to help us identify what are the things we really value. It was hard. I'll have to tell you now, I filled up dumpsters all over town that did not belong to me. With books and possessions and things that once seemed so important, now it was just stuff that needed to be dealt with. And we were giving furniture away to the guys that had come to move us. I mean, we were just trying to get rid of it. But we also found some stuff that we wanted to continue to hang on to and value, because those things really matter in our lives. I did learn a really good lesson going through all of that. You know what I learned? I learned that by and large, stuff is just stuff. By and large, it's just mostly stuff. You know what I mean? Now, some stuff is more valuable. Some stuff is more sentimental. But in the end, stuff is just stuff. I love what I heard one person say about anything you can hold in your hands. Either it will leave you or you will leave it. But you can't hang on to it forever. The only things that are of eternal value are the Lord you serve and the people He gives you to love. If it comes down to it, that's important. Even with the things that we held on to, that we decided were too valuable to part with, if you said to me, the house is on fire, you can choose between your stuff and your wife, I would choose my wife. And so would you. If it's true that the only things that matter are the Lord and the people around you, then redeeming the time means living in a way that reflects God's eternal values. So I would say to you this morning, if you had all the stuff in the world, if you had all the time in the world, if you had everything that you thought you wanted, but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. Nothing else matters if you don't have a Savior. Nothing else can last except the one who died to save you. Nothing is eternal except that home He has prepared for you, if you'll receive it. And I would say this, and if you don't have the love and respect of the people who know you the best, your life has lost its value. Redeeming the time means making the main thing the main thing. Living as though all that really matters is the God who loves you and the people you love. And living like that is true. Paul challenged the Ephesians to redeem the time. He challenges us in the same way. Make the best of every moment, every word, every relationship, every opportunity. What he would say is this: redeem the time because you have a Redeemer. You have a Redeemer who came and lived among us, and He knew He only had a certain amount of time, and He walked among us for 3 years, and He ministered to us, and He made the best of every moment. And when the time was right, He gave Himself so that you could have everlasting life. If you just trust Him. Jesus Christ redeemed everything. And He is the Redeemer of everyone who trusts Him. And maybe you're here today and you've never trusted the Redeemer. You've never given your life to Jesus. Other things have seemed more important. Other ways of living seem to require more of your time, and you just keep thinking, there'll come a moment when it's right. Today is the day when it's right. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you don't have a Savior, there's nothing more important for you to know than this. You don't need to leave this place without a personal trust in Christ. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you'd like to know how you can know Christ as your Savior, I'll be right here. You just come to where I am and I'll introduce you to Jesus. It would be my greatest privilege. Or maybe God is telling you that part of what it means to redeem the time is to place yourself in this church as a member of this church, because this is where I want to invest my life for Him. And this is what He's calling me to do. Maybe there's another decision. God's speaking to you this morning. It's time for you to say yes. We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If God is speaking to you, you come. Let's stand together. It's been a good day to worship the Lord together as we enter into our Labor Day celebration. Let me encourage you again, be downstairs. Join us down in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a great time. We're going to share a meal together. We're going to have grilled chicken. It's going to be wonderful. I hope you have a chance to stay and be with us. We're going to go ahead and say our prayer. We're going to let our prayer be a blessing. So when you get downstairs, you can just go right ahead and begin to fill your plate and enjoy the fellowship. The food's wonderful. The fellowship is beyond belief. So I hope you'll be there to join us for that. Let's bow together for a prayer and then one final song as we dismiss. Father, we do thank You that You give us time to redeem. And that, Lord, we take advantage of every moment and do everything we can to be of service to You. We thank You, Father, that a part of that is being part of a loving and fellowshipping church. And we just want to pray, Lord, that as we go downstairs and enjoy our meal together, that, Lord, You'll bless it. Bless the food. Bless the people around the tables. Help us to know it's all a gift from God's great hand. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.